what happened here tonight is so in tune of what I want to share. It's for me, my whole prayer through this week was, God, my biggest longing is that you will be manifested tonight, that you will be exalted, and that your love will tonight be revealed. That's what I want to share about, and it's a simple, simple message. It's nothing new, but I trust it's going to be deeper. I actually want it more flat. Okay, so I want to start tonight, and can you put up the first scripture? John 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become what? Children of God. To those who believe in his name. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." Next scripture. 1 John 3 verse 1. This is in the Amplified. "See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given on us." What an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be what? Be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Now you need to bear with me, because this is something that God showed to me, and I was absolutely amazed. When a man and a wife come together, what is produced? Children. The most intimate form of love that God showed unto himself was that we was born as children of him. Do you hear what I'm saying? God manifested love towards himself, and we were produced. Ek dink julle hoor wat ek sê nie. God showed himself love, and we were born. Do you realize, do you understand what measure, what quality of love God has shown unto us that we can be his children? How basic and how simple is this? But do you understand that infinite, awesome love? The purest, most holy, most undescribable kind of love we were born from was manifested when we were born and called children of God. That is the love that is within you. That is the love that God has for each one of us. It's the love that he has for himself, but it was manifested in us. Verstaan julle die liefde wat die Vader vir ons het? You realize and understand what intimate, awesome love God has for us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit manifested love among themselves, and we were born. That's basically first what I want to focus on. The next scripture, 1 John 4 verse 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." God is love. That's his essence. That is who he is. And that love was manifested in us when we were born again. We as children of God is the ultimate manifestation of his love. Sorry, I'm repeating myself here tremendously, but I want you to realize what love God has for us. Okay, let's go further. So with the born-again experience as we know it, to become a child of God, the purest form of love was manifested in us. And what was the product? Our spirit came forth with the manifestation of God's love towards one another, towards himself. The product was our spirit was born again. So, in essence, what is your spirit? your spirit has the essence of love within it. You are actually love. You are born of God, and God produces after himself, and that is love. You have the quality, the purest love within you. Doc Kruiven het gesê, Springboks are born. Springboks are born. They're not actually, you can't train them. You do also, but they're born. Soos bijvoorbeeld, look at it, Skalkburger. Skalkburger's father was actually a Springbok rugby player. Kijk na Sean Pollock. Sean Pollock's father was actually a Springbok cricket player. So, a Springbok is born. We are born, our essence, our genes, is born from God. We are, something of God is within us. The essence of who we are, our spirit, when you become born again, is something of God within us. I want to take this a bit further. When the incorruptible seed of the Word came with the Holy Spirit. The incorruptible seed of the Word is who? It's Jesus. Okay, John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. From who are we speaking here? From Jesus. Okay? So the Word, Jesus, actually came to us. The Holy Spirit came and impregnated that Word. That's John 3 verse 5. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the Word, which is Jesus, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, actually came together, and in the womb of faith, who was manifested, who was born, we were born as children of God. Love manifested from God came together and we were produced. The product of God's love is us. And that's what we must realize and understand. That's what I want to come to. So, when you are born again, you become a son of the most living high God. The product of God's love towards himself is us, sons of God. Now I want to focus basically on sonship. Okay? The product of God's manifested love is us, sons of God. A son, I want to actually challenge the few fathers in the house. When you received your baby, Vian, how many time compared, Dion is out of here, how many time compared your time that you spend with Vian compared to the time that Sonika spends with Vian? 1 in 10? It's not an attack. It's actually just what am I trying to come over here is at the beginning the baby spends time with the mother. The mother's heart over time becomes to introduce the child to the father. That is the role that a mother plays. Is ek reg? Ek is nog nie getroud. Ek het ook geen kinders nie, maar dis wat my ma vir my vertel het. A woman's, a wife's heart is to show her children to the father. A son needs to be introduced to his father. When we come to the born again experience, you are a child of God, but you need to be introduced to the father. You need to come to that place where you understand, but God the Father is actually my Father. I need to receive his love. We need to come to that place of understanding. And that's Jesus' heart for us again. Jesus came to the earth for what? In the first place, to die for our sins. Yes, but why? To show us the Father. That's his heart for us. To show us the Father. You can't be a son if you don't have a father. Now, what is the position of a son? Ek hoop julle volg my. Ek vat nog hulle mooi paadjie. Ek dink so. You must just stay with me. So don't miss out. Hang on. You can't be a son if you don't have a father. What is Jesus' heart for us? To be revealed, to reveal the Father to us. Okay, so we need introduction of the Jesus, and we need introduction to the Holy Spirit, so that we can become sons, so that we can be introduced to the Father. And that's what I want to come to. I want to show you God's Father heart, God's love for us. And that's what I started with. The awesome love that was manifested between the Trinity so that we can become children and know the Father. John 14, verse 7 and 8. It's Jesus speaking. If you have known me, that's Jesus, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And then Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Show us the Father, and it's enough. Show me the Father, I know I have the fullness. Show me the Father, and I am all right. I want to know the Father. Galatians 4, verse 6 and 7 said, and because you really are his sons, God had sent the Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Abba, Father. Therefore, you no longer are slave, bond servants, but a son introduced to the Father. And if you are a son, then an heir by the aid of God through Christ. Again, who's the role person's playing there? It's the Trinity that's showing himself there in Galatians. The Holy Spirit of his Son, the Son itself, showing Abba, Father. The Father heart of God is manifested by Jesus and the Holy Spirit coming together, impregnating one another, that you can see the Father. Cry out, Abba, Father. That's God's heart for us. So, what is the difference between a son and a bondservant or a slave? I'm not going to go into this too much. If you do, what is Foundation 3's name, new name? Legacy. Foundation 3, Legacy. If you do that, this whole thing will be revealed to you much better. I think Fred does it, so I think he's got a bit more experience than me. Anyway, the difference between a son and a slave, a servant. A servant, don't belong, is uncertain. I have a picture. If a servant go into a house. A servant goes in a way like in, I'm not worthy, I'm unsure of myself, I don't really have absolute access to just go in, take what I want, do what I want. I must actually work to receive something. Isn't that what a servant does? All of it the whole time, unsure, uncertain, and never a certainty of belonging. Work needs to be manifested so that you can receive something. Now, I hope the next slide comes through. Son. Yes, great. Okay. Son. What is the place of a son? A son has value just for being a son. You don't have to do something. You're born. Vian is Andre's son. And that's it. There's nothing that Vian needs to do. He can cry. He can dirty his nappies. He can do what he wants to. But he's still going to stay his son. He's got value. He belongs just because he is a son. He doesn't have to perform. You don't have to do anything to become a son. You are just a son because you were born from the Father. You are a son. That's your place. He's loved for who he is and not for what he does. You're loved for who you are, not for what you have to do. You're affirmed just because you are a son. You see the difference. Can you, challenging now, associate with a place of a son in the Father's house? Can you take that upon yourself and say, I can with absolute honesty say, I am a son of God because I don't have to do anything for him. That's what Andre spoke about last week, the river of grace. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to put our buckets of water and working those buckets of water to the altar. You can just dive in and be in the water. The place of affirmation, you can just be who you are. A son, I like this association for a man. A son can walk into the kitchen, go to the refrigerator, and take out what he wants to and eat. You've got that place because you're a son. You don't have to ask permission to go and ask, get something to eat from the refrigerator. Ek weet jy, miskien is dit anders dan aan huis, maar dis hoe dit in my huis werk. I must sometimes, if there's only two slices of cake and we have three children, then maybe I must ask. But if you're a slave, a servant, you don't even have access to the refrigerator. You don't even have the boldness necessary to go and ask, can I have that any piece of cake, anything inside? Because you're unsure, you don't know if you can actually access that refrigerator. Can you certainly walk up to the Father and say, God, you are my Father, I ask of you. Every time in Scripture, Jesus says, ask of the Father, ask of the Father. You have, because you're a son, you can ask of the Father. But if you're a servant, what is your attitude? Your attitude is, I need to work for something. I need to work for something. You don't have to work. You can just walk up to the Father and ask of the Father. Again, I don't want to go into this very deep, but the Spirit and Jesus introduces us to the Father. You receive it. You're born into it. You don't have to do anything for it. You receive that place of being a son. In being a son, and this is a sermon on its own, you receive an inheritance. And that inheritance is already manifested here on earth while you're still here. That inheritance you can already walk into here on earth, and that's God's heart for us. And that's also connecting to your calling. And I always want to challenge you. We as guys are usually, I want to know my calling, I want to know my calling, I know where I'm off to. Your calling can't manifest if you don't understand your position as son of God. Okay. We all know the story of the prodigal son. I'm not going to in this too much. One of the features of the prodigal son, the father of the prodigal son, that father figure, he gave freedom of choice. I want to show you, basically what I'm trying to get through to, I want to show you something of the father heart for us. Okay? So that's where I'm getting at. Showing you something of the father heart of God. The father figure in the prodigal son gave that son the freedom of choice to decide, I want to take my inheritance now and I want to go out. He didn't say, no, whoa, this is not your time. He actually said, okay, I trust you. Yes, your money. Yes, whatever your deal is. I give it to you and you can go. He gave him the freedom of choice. God creates possibility for deep relationship with his sons with giving us the freedom of choice. God sovereignly chose to give man free will, taking the risk of being rejected. Do you realize? Again, what is another English word? The responsibility, basically. The responsibility that is on you to have that free will, but to choose God. Because he says, I've given you free will. Here and I laying before you life and death. That's the Deuteronomium. How do you say that in English? Deuteronomium, I can't remember specifically, 30, I think, which is, I lay before you life and death. Choose life. I give you the choice. I lay before you life and death. Choose life. The freedom of choice is in your hands. Choose life. God giving us the freedom of choice. And why? Because love is a choice. God didn't give us rules and regulations that we must overcome so that we can access him. God gave us love. God gave us free choice so that we can access love. Okay, next one. And that was what Andre spoke about when he actually gave that word tonight. The father heart of God is a God patiently waiting. God is patiently waiting for you to come to the place of reaching an attitude of sorrow for your sin, that Jesus can set you free and introduce you to the Father. God the Father patiently waiting, because the only way to the Father is through Jesus. God patiently waiting for you to come to that place, understanding you lost without Him. I need to be introduced to Jesus that I can be set free in the Father. That is what Isaiah 30 verse 18 just gives a very good revelation of God the Father. Therefore the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you, and therefore He will be exalted that He may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for Him. Therefore the Lord will wait. Romans 2 verse 12. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God will lead you to repentance, waiting for us to come to that place of repentance so that He can actually introduce and show you His Father heart. And then the last one that I quickly want to just say is the unconditional acceptance. Not matter in which area you are, where you've been, what you've done, unconditional acceptance of where you are, that you can walk into the place of the Father. Okay, Jesus was the man He was because of the Father that He had. That is nogal profound. Jesus was the man He was because of the Father that He had. You are the man slash daughter you are because of the Father that you have. You need to understand who the Father is, that you can be the man slash daughter you need to be. Guys, I want to show you the heart of the Father so that you can become who you are meant to be. Kan ons iemand net alles afsit, Jan? Kan ek maar net praat? Kijk, sê, ja, maar hy raas nog steeds. Klink so. Okay. Hallo, yes, man. Okay. A son becomes an independent executor of the spiritual estate. The son becomes, that's the place of the son. The son becomes an independent executor of the spiritual estate. That's where I want to take us at the end. That is the place where God the Father wants to take you as a son. Becoming an independent executor of the spiritual estate. He wants to give you the rule and the reign in the spiritual realm, but you need to understand your place as a son of God. Be subject to the Father's mission. What is the word subject, submission, subjection? It comes through to the same word, to get underneath, to become dependent upon. To be subject to God the Father's mission is to get underneath, to become dependent on. What is God's mission for us? We're very quick to say, but we need to live the Great Commission, Great Commission, Great Commission. That's true. We need to live the Great Commission. But if you don't understand the Great Commandment, you will never understand the Great Commission. What is the Great Commandment? What is the Great Commission? Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Great Commission. Go out and make disciples. What is the Great Commandment? Before that, I just want to add, God saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then next to that, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. you don't understand the great commandment, you can't live the great commission. Get underneath, subject to the Father's mission. Get to that place of full love so that love can be manifested through you to the nations. Receive the love of God so that the love of God can be manifested through you. You need to know what it is to be a son. You need to know the understanding of what the Father's love is for you. Then we can fulfill the Great Commission. And that is each one of our hearts here, actually, is to see that people come to repentance, to come to the understanding of who Jesus Christ is. But we need to understand the Great Commission. We need to understand what the love of the Father is for us, that we can receive it so that we can give it. That will be your only motivation to go out. If you don't have that, you're not motivated to go out and share the gospel. Okay, the next part is actually, this is maybe more personal than it's actually necessary to bring this forth in the, but God showed me when I was preparing this piece, God gave to me Ephesians 3 verse 16 to 4 verse 6. Now I'm just going to read this. At the end, if you're interested, go home and go and ponder on this. This is so cool. Ephesians 3 verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the what? In the inner man. That's what I want to speak about next. Grant you strength in the inner man, because in the inner man, we've got our rule and our reign. Be strengthened with my three spirit in the inner man, that Christ, again, spirit and Christ, may dwell in your hearts through the womb faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, speaking about the love of God. To know the love of Christ. I can't share everything at the moment what's standing there, but this is by mooi groot. To know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Guys, what I want to just quickly share here is the Spirit and Christ building, strengthening our inner man, so that we may comprehend the love of the Father. So that we may come to the fullness of God. This is not a recap. This is not a fuller, bigger picture of what I'm actually talking about. Now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now it goes on. That was a prayer that he was praying. Goes on. Next slide. I therefore, this is now Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, to walk worthy, and this is what I want to come to. Now he actually shows you your calling. Now you come through to the calling, but you first need to understand the love, Jesus Christ and the Spirit, coming to the fullness. Then you actually start receiving your calling, with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Ek weet nie wat om te sê nie, dis net so klief. What is so awesome about this, you can't do this alone. You need to bear with one another. Love is manifested. You can't do it in yourself. Love, you can't just love yourself. You need to love others. Love, you need more than one person. In your calling, you need to actually understand that you need to walk out with somebody. You actually need to walk in love. You need to have that, at the end, oneness, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God for of all. What am I getting to? We need unity. We need unity, we need oneness, we need unity to manifest God's love to at the end go into your calling. Okay, go and ponder on this. This is great stuff. Don't separate. I almost want to say Galatians 3 and Galatians 4. Read it as one. Because, Galatians 3 and Galatians 4. Ephesians, okay. Okay, and this is what I just want to confirm. John 17, verse 21. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. What do we need? We need oneness, we need unity. Is vir my so mooi hoe die prentjie net homself aanvul en volledig maak. Okay, now I'm going to speak about something absolutely different, but it comes to still what I'm speaking about. And this was something that God revealed to me, and I'm so excited about this because this is something that God just supernaturally revealed to me. 1 Thessalonians, yours, moeilik in Engels. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole, spirit, soul, and body preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? We are three parts, I almost want to say. Whole spirit, soul, and body. Okay? I'm going to continue first before I'm going to speak about this. Next slide, Dion. God spoke to himself and said, that's in Genesis 1, verse 26. God spoke to himself. Okay? Then God said, let us make man in what? In our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the world. So God created man in his own image. Now he repeats it. In his own image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. Okay, question. What is God? Spirit. I heard that somewhere. Spirit. To his image we are created. According to what are we created? According to God's image, we are created spirit. God took out of himself life, which belongs to him only, and placed it into man. God took out of himself life and placed it into man. What did he place into us? Life. Do you realize what is in you? Do you realize that you are life from God? Do you realize that he took something from himself, placed it within us? Do you realize that you're something from God? Your essence is something from God? Man was created from God. God is man's source. If you walk away from God, you are cut off from your source and you will die. Our spirit is made of the stuff that God is. Okay, guys, you see. Our spirit is made of the stuff that God is. You are carrying God's essence in you, your spirit. God's spirit is actually in us. Your spirit is actually in essence from God. God is manifesting himself through us. You are, with respect said, but you are something from God. we live with in the spirit. We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. Now, the problem is our soul got so much feeding over the years that our soul is stronger than our spirit. Our soul is actually ruling over our spirits. Our soul wants to manifest itself, the altar. Our soul wants to come through. We are focusing the whole time on the soul. What does the media say? Soul, 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 body, body, body. Where does the spirit fill in? Where does your food come from the spirit? Our spirit needs to reign and rule, but it can't if the soul is stronger than the spirit. Our spirit needs to rule over our soul, needs to rule over our body. Our soul needs to submit. But we receive the whole time input for our soul, soul, soul. Where does our spirit get its feeding from? Where does our spirit get, what did we say, fullness of Christ, maturity, perfection? It's in our spirit. Our spirit needs to come to fullness. You need to understand that you are spirit, and your spirit needs to grow. That's why everything in the Bible, in the New Testament, made sense, that wonders and signs and miracles followed, because it was in the fullness of Jesus' spirit that was manifested. Our spirit needs to grow above our soul. Our soul needs to submit. And we can speak to our soul and our spirit and say, grow spirit, submit soul. How many times, and luckily enough, I'll get to that now. How many times do you spend to actually grow your spirit, to bring your soul under submission and basically train your body? We spend so much time on our body, spend so much time with our soul, but don't come to the place of growing our spirit. We need to grow our spirits. Because it's in the spirit that we're going to have dominion over everything that God created. We need to understand that we can rule and reign on this earth. It is in the spirit, and it will manifest in the soul and the body. But the spirit needs to rule and reign. We need to grow in the spirit, guys. That's basically what it comes down to. What is actually quite, God's grace is just so gift. When Adam was created, God told him, go and name the animals. Okay, now I didn't see any university or school or anything at that stage on the universe. Adam didn't go through grade 1 to 12 or whatever. He didn't go to any college or anything. God told him, go and name the animals. Where did he get that knowledge from? Where did he get that insight from? From God, from the Spirit. He was downloaded in 1 second, the names of the animals on this planet was downloaded at one sudden instant, and he manifested it to call and name the animals. Same with miracles and wonders. God downloads that to us in our spirit, and we speak that in the spiritual realm, and we need to rule and reign in the spirit. Do you guys realize that we need to start practicing the spirit? We need to start actually ruling in the spirit, and the soul and the body needs to submit. Do you realize that God can here now, just like that, manifest, download something into your being, and you can manifest that? But you need to practice the Spirit. If you don't have the sensitivity of the Spirit, you can't receive it. There's so many voices speaking, a voice of the Spirit, the voice of God, the voice of our soul, our own voice, voice of Satan. So many voices. Can you distinguish between all these voices and at the end receive the voice from God and actually download it into your being so that you can manifest it? We need to start being sensitive to the Spirit. We need to start receiving that Spirit so that we can manifest God in this universe, so that we can have dominion. That's what God called us to do. Okay, I'm almost there. Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3. Arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Okay, this is the Amplified version. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and the dense darkness all peoples, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon who? Upon you, and nations shall come to who? To your light. And to the kings, to the brightness of your rising. What am I getting here? God's glory is manifested in us, and nations will come to your light, your rising. Guys, this day and age, I almost want to say how many people didn't hear the word of God? The most people in South Africa, for example, did hear the word of God. Am I correct in saying that, basically? Why didn't they come to the Lord? There's different reasons, okay? I'm not going to deny that. But at the end, what is Jesus' heart for us? That they will see our spirit being manifested so that they can come to us, come to your light and your rising, so that God can be glorified. Our spirit needs to rise up so that people can see, have the longing for our spirits, so that we can actually manifest God in the nations. Guys, do you hear what I'm saying? Our spirit needs to rise up. Our spirit needs to take its place. Because then nations will understand the glory of God. Then nations will understand who God is. Then God's glory will actually start being manifested. Our spirit needs to rise up. Okay. God wants your spirit to be so intense, so bright, so alive, that people who refuse to admit God will be attracted to your spirit. And your spirit is from God. We have above advantages above non-believers because we've got a spirit that they don't have that actually can manifest, download from God and manifest his presence. We've got something above the normal non-believers. We've got it, but our soul is so strong, our spirit so weak that we can't manifest it. Rise up, Spirit. Rise up, rise up. Take your place, rule and reign, have dominion. I'm ending off. God wants us to step into sonship and do what we are supposed to do, to clear up the mess and cause our spirit to be so bright that the non-believers will be drawn to our spirits. Our spirit is made of the stuff that God's spirit is. God is delighted in being seen in his children. Your spirit reflects the glory of God. We need to understand our spiritual place. We need to grow in the spirit. Our spirit needs to reign over our soul, that our spirit may shine and reflect and reveal the glory of God. Our spirit needs to come to the fullness of Christ. our spirit needs to come to a place of maturity that our soul and our body will submit to it. Excuse me, but our souls are so strong that our spirit is struggling to breathe. Our souls is being so inputted from the world that our spirit is being, almost want to say deleted, but that's also not the right word, suppressed. We need to rise up in the spirit, guys. Okay, this is the last slide. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 and 4. Go and ponder on this. This is big stuff. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness, through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. By means of these he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay that is in the world because of covetousness, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. Sharers, partakers of the divine nature. Sharers, partakers of the divine nature. And what do we receive? The divine power has bestowed upon us all things that gives us life and godliness. That is what we receive. Life and godliness within us, because the divine nature of God is upon us. Sjoe ouens, dis groot wat ons het in ons hande, en gaan ons het leef. We need to rule and reign in the Spirit. That's God's heart for us. And we can't if we don't understand what our position is as son. I want to end off when I was Tuesday night, when I was just spending time with God. He actually, I was just basically kneeling at my bed and walking into the presence of God. And the picture that he gave me, I want to call it a vision because that's really what I experienced, is the throne of God was ahead of me and I couldn't face it. I had to turn around. And I went down, and what I experienced was basically my body and my soul dying. It just fell from me, and my spirit stood up from there and turned around, and I walked to God's throne room, and I went down and I just worshipped him. And in worship, I was worshipping and worshipping, and God the Father stepped from his throne. Now, there's only one place in Scripture that happened. And that was when Stephanus was actually martyred. What's that? Martyred. And was thrown by stones. That was the only place where God actually stepped from his throne and actually looked down upon him and said, but wow, he's doing this for me. God the Father, in front of his throne room, God stepped down, went down, picked me up and said, come child, I want to show you something. I want to walk with you. He took me to a garden. And we were sitting on a bench. And my senses was just so overflooded with butterflies and so many million colors and just wind passing through. And I was just in absolute awe of this garden, of this place where I can just be with God. And God turned to me and he said, but this garden is actually you. I want to walk in your garden. I want to walk in your garden. Are you preparing your garden for me? Do your garden have wheat in it? Or is it actually reflecting my glory? And I said, don't stop, God. Let's carry on. Let's carry on. I don't want to stop you. And God said, okay, come with me. And I got on a horse with him. And then my horse was almost a small pony. And his horse was this massive, massive big horse. And he took me out of his castle and we started riding, just riding in such green valleys over estates and places. And God said, this is my kingdom. This is my kingdom. All of it is my kingdom. And I want you to rule and reign in it. I don't want you to only be at a place where you just look down at me. I actually want to ride with you and rule and reign in my kingdom. And it was such an awesome experience because it's as if God the Father was, he just had to whip his horse once and he shot forward and I was with my pony, come on. And I couldn't keep up. And it's just that, and God turned around and he basically smiled and said, I've got so much more for you. I've got so much more for you. And he just said, but I want you to rule and reign. I want you to come and sit next to me on your throne, which I prepared for you, that you can rule and reign with me. Do you realize what that is? God wants us to rule and reign with him. And I said, God, don't stop here. Let's go on. And he showed me, and that's what I want to share with. That's exactly what Andre showed last time. And he showed me this kingdom is actually being begrens. What is the border was actually this massive river. And he showed me so many people that was outside of that river. And he said, we need to get into the river before we can step into his kingdom. We need to get into the river to get into his kingdom. And that's the river of grace, the river of God's life. And I did see people actually stepping into that river and running up to the castle. And God just took me to the castle. And when we got inside, there was this massive party. And this massive party, this one figure was dancing. And it was Jesus. Shouting, singing, they're coming, Lord. They're coming, Father. They're coming in. They're coming in. And God the Father looked to Jesus and he just winked and said, that's what I want. That's my heart. More of this, more of this. That's God's heart for us. More of this. And I'm so amazed because that's God's heart for us. God's heart for us is not only, that's where we start. Please, guys, understand me right. We need to start at his throne. We need to start at awesome worship. We need to start there. We need to be in that place. It's only when he steps off and come towards us and puts us up and say, but now ride with me. Now take your place of rulership and reigning. We need to understand our place in the Spirit. We need to understand what God has for us. We need to understand who we are in Christ Jesus as sons of the living God. Yes, it is amazing. Here, ek wil net absoluut verheerlik, Father. Ek wil absoluut net groot maak for your awesome love towards us. Father, I just want to absolutely, Father, just bow before you and say, you're such an awesome God. Who can stand before you anyway? You, the ruler and reigner of all kingdoms, all authority comes to you. Father, and you want to share it with us. How awesome is that? Father, and my heart tonight is just to speak to the spirit man tonight. Now I speak, rise up, take your place, spirit man, rise up in Christ Jesus. Take your place, Spirit man, of each one of our lives. Rise up and take your place in Christ Jesus and rule and reign. Because this is our time. This is our time to rise up. God, this can only, and I trust you for this now, this can only be revealed by your Spirit. Father, this is a word that you gave to me tonight, and I trust you for this. I trust you that you will come through your Spirit and just reveal this. Because it's not in our own understanding that we can understand this. Holy Spirit, we really, really need.